Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short head.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. On today's show, you'll hear the speech given by architect Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, at the Cobo Convention Center in Detroit on February 18, 2017. This was part of the Nation of Islam's Savior's Day event. There were two other speakers addressing 9/11, but I'll only be sharing Richard Gage's speech on the show. The Nation of Islam is wise to 9/11 and see that we've been lied to about what really happened that day, and so held this plenary session called the War on Islam. If you're new to the evidence that contradicts the official and fraudulent account of what happened on 9/11, you might want to go to YouTube and search for a video of World Trade Center Building 7 collapsing as you listen to this presentation. The clip you're about to hear has been slightly edited for radio. So let's begin with architect Richard Gage's presentation at the Nation of Islam's Savior's Day Conference on February 18th. He's being introduced here by the Master of Ceremonies for the event, and I'm sorry I was unable to find out what his name was.
Now that we know something about the history of these false flags and the characteristics thereof, is it likely that another type of false flag is being devised to justify another war, another policy, another political objective? Let's definitely keep that on our mind as we prepare to bring on our next presenter. Now, as you know, our next presenter certainly is no stranger to us. Mr. Richard Gage, who is an architect of nearly 30 years and the founder and CEO of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. This is a group comprised of skilled architects and engineers nearing about 2,500, if I'm not mistaken, along with 20,000 other signers of the petition and supporters that they have backing them up. Now be mindful, these are scientists, architects and engineers with verified degrees and backgrounds and experience who know what they're talking about. So, after his 2012 plenary session presentation to us, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan called this man a true patriot. So he's here with us again today to take us further into the science of the collapse of the World Trade Centers. Let's welcome back to the podium our friend, our ally, Mr. Richard Gage. Let's welcome him again, family.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. We erected a third light beam in downtown Lower Manhattan to bring to the attention of the American people World Trade Center Building 7, the third skyscraper that collapsed on 9/11. I want to tell you about it. Why? Because it collapsed suddenly, symmetrically, at freefall acceleration on the afternoon of 9/11. By normal office fires, according to the official story. Here's a 47-story skyscraper, be the tallest building in most of our states, part of the World Trade Center complex, across the street from the complex itself. It wasn't hit by an airplane. Yet, on the afternoon of 9/11, well after, 7 hours after the two Twin Towers came down, it collapsed. According to the official story, by these small, few, scattered fires, normal office fires. Office fires have never brought down a skyscraper. There are hundreds of examples of much hotter, longer lasting, and larger fires in skyscrapers that have never come down. There's good reasons for that. We're going to compare Building 7's features of its collapse to those of typical controlled demolition, beginning with, is there a sudden onset of destruction? This building collapses in under 7 seconds. in the manner that you see. What caused its collapse? Is there a straight down, symmetrical collapse? Another feature, number two, of controlled demolition. Let's take a look from West Street. Yep, straight down, symmetrically, into its own footprint. As you can see here, the center of the pile is in the center of the building. But maybe we're not convinced yet. Let's place a normal controlled demolition on the right, compare it to World Trade Center 7 on the left. Is there any similarity? Is there enough similarity to warrant an investigation into the possible use of explosives? Yet this was never done. How do they bring a building straight down into its own footprint? You have to place explosives near the columns and beams throughout the building and synchronistically set them off floor by floor. If you don't follow this precise order, the building will fall over. And of course, that doesn't happen. Fire does not have this precision. How fast did the building collapse? You can see it gaining additional distance with every second. It falls, admitted by NIST, in free fall acceleration. That means no resistance from any of the 80 columns in this building. Not one of them gave any resistance. It's as if eight stories were removed from this building all at once, resulting in feature number six, the total dismemberment of the steel structure, broken up, ready for loading and shipment. Four stories tall. How do you get 47 stories into four stories? Buildings that fall due to natural causes collapse. You can see a mangled building. Its structural members are not dismembered from each other. Its concrete is not pulverized to a fine powder. Do witnesses hear sounds of explosions? Feature number seven. Kevin McFadden, former Air Force medic, cites explosions, like you'd hear the ground shaking, like the train running underneath your feet. Kaboom! I knew that was an explosion, he says. Do we have enormous pyroclastic-like clouds racing in every direction away from Building 7 at 35 miles an hour with expanding cauliflower-shaped plumes, indicative of an incredible heat? Where does that heat come from? We'll take a look in a moment, but it didn't come from the few small scattered fires that you see here that are blamed for the collapse of this building. How about that, a heat? What's causing it? Well, FEMA author Jonathan Barnett, fire protection engineer, cites steel members in the debris pile that appear to have been partly evaporated in extraordinarily high temperatures. It takes 2,800 degrees to begin to melt steel. It takes 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit to evaporate it. Did that heat come from those few small scattered fires? We don't think so. We have the 10 key characteristic features of controlled demolition, direct evidence of explosive destruction. Fire cannot create any one of these, let alone all 10 of them. If fire could have, it would have brought down this building, World Trade Center Building 5, completely engulfed in fire, did it? No. Fire does not bring down steel frame or any other skyscraper, particularly these small few scattered fires. What happened to the evidence? Carted away at 400 truckloads a day, beginning just 2 weeks after 9/11, put on barges, shipped to where? China, for recycling, before forensic investigators could get their hands on it. Bill Manning cites crucial evidence that can answer many questions on the slow boat to China. Do we have foreknowledge of this building's collapse? Listen to these construction workers hearing an explosion over their shoulder, looking back at Building 7, and then looking straight into the CNN camera and saying this. Keep your eye on that building. That building's coming down. The building's about to blow up. Move it back. Flame and debris coming down. How do they know the building is about to blow up? Did we show, so far, the 10 key characteristics of controlled demolition? Is this direct evidence of explosive destruction? Can fire create any one of these? No, let alone all 10 of them. We believe this is proof of controlled demolition, which is why we now have 2,800 architects and engineers demanding a new investigation, who have also looked at the World Trade Center Twin Towers. We have plane impacts, but it's an hour to an hour and a half later that the towers came down. NIST acknowledges most of that jet fuel burned up in the first, well, outside the building. The rest of it was gone in 10 minutes. After that, for about an hour, we have normal office fires and some damage by the planes. They say that fire caused the sagging of these trusses, pulling in the columns, allowing that portion of the building above the jet plane impacts to crush the building and then crush itself. This is a theory that is completely contradicted by the evidence, particularly the evidence of the fires, which were going out at the time of these collapses, as you can see by the thick, dark smoke clouds. Is there a sudden onset of destruction? And what would produce that? Sounds and flashes heard and seen by witnesses. 118 of them documented in 2005 after a lawsuit forced the city to release this damning evidence of observations of flashes, sounds of explosions, and other phenomena indicative of explosions. Like this, simultaneously, from all four sides, material shot out horizontally, momentarily delay before you could see the collapse. An explosion in the South Tower, one floor under another. Figured it was a bomb because it looked like a deliberate, synchronized kind of thing. Seemed like on television when they blow up these buildings. Seemed like it was going all the way around, like a belt. All these explosions. Let's see what they're talking about. The North Tower on the right. Known controlled demolition on the left. Is there any similarity? We'll slow it down halfway for you. Is there enough similarity to warrant an investigation into the possible use of explosives? Especially since it looks exactly like a controlled demolition, especially since fire, the official cause of these buildings' collapse, along with jet plane impacts, has never brought down a skyscraper ever. Somewhere in the middle of this World Trade Center, there was this orange and red flash coming out. Flash just kept popping all the way around the building, and the building had started to explode. Saw a brief number of light sources being emitted from inside the building between floors 10 and 15. I saw flash, flash, flash. Then it looked like the building came down. The building was blowing out on all four sides. We actually heard the pops. You know, you heard the pops of the building with each popping sound, initially an orange, and then a red flash came out of the building. Then it would go all the way around the building on both sides. Let's look at the South Tower. Is there any similarity to a known controlled demolition which we're seeing on the left? The South Tower on the right looks exactly like a controlled demolition. Should it not have been examined? One of the first hypotheses of NIST, rather than completely ignored, especially with all the evidence of testimony of witnesses of explosions. I saw flash, flash, flash. Then it looked like the building came down. I thought the terrorists planted explosives somewhere in the building. That's how loud it was, a crackling explosive. These guys are saying boom, 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 just like a controlled demolition like you see on TV. Are firefighters credible? We think so. We're told the upper part of the North Tower crushed the rest of the building and then destroyed itself. But as you can see, in the first 4 seconds, it's destroying itself. It's as if it's liquefying, it's telescoping. You can see it here quite easily, in fact. In the first 4 seconds, that upper part is telescoping in on itself. It is destroyed, dismembered. There's nothing left to crush the rest of the building at any speed. Let's take a look at the North Tower starting and now stopping. Just like you heard the firemen say, all the way around the building, symmetrical explosions. None of the photos or videos show an upper section of this building destroying the rest of the building. As you saw, it was gone. What it looks like is more like the volcanic eruption in the Tongan Sea in 2019. Upward, outward, arching streamers, followed by thick white smoke clouds, which are indicative of incendiary destruction, a geometry of fireworks. Let's look at the South Tower. It does begin to tip over. So we have 20 degrees off center, asymmetrical damage from the loading of this building falling off of itself, asymmetrical damage from the jet plane damage, asymmetrical damage from the fires. How can it have symmetrical destruction all the way down from the top to the bottom in under 12 seconds? Just like the firefighters described, like a belt, all these explosions all the way around the towers. Take a look yourself as we zoom in on those explosions. Are we looking at a collapse or a series of thousands of explosions? And as we zoom in to feature number three, take a look at these individual isolated explosions called squibs here, here. These are coming out at 80 miles an hour, 200 feet per second, 60 floors down up to. These are pulverized building solids. You can see the solids in these explosions. And this tells us, well, these are puffs of air being produced by that pile driver, which is driving down the building. But it was gone. You saw it was destroyed in the first 4 seconds. And if these were puffs of air, they'd blow out all the windows in an open office planning, which these floors were, not these individually charged, isolated explosives that are in this engineered pattern, as you see here, often at the facade, 20, 40, 60 stories below. How fast is the building coming down? Let's take a look. Well, here's 3 seconds, 4, 5, 6, 7. In under 12 seconds, the entire building is completely shattered, its structure from top to bottom. This is near free fall acceleration. The columns are not giving hardly any resistance. These columns, more steel in the facade than glass. What happened to it that it lost all of its resistance? How did it get totally dismembered? Feature number five of explosive demolition. Well outside the perimeter of each of the twin towers, broken up into its original 37 and a half foot lengths, these core columns, laterally ejected, feature number six in this case. As we proceed, freely flying structural steel sections, individually freely flying back to three, forward to three, back to three, forward to three. That's 45 degrees. It starts out laterally. What force in a gravitational collapse can send thousands of freely flying structural steel sections weighing 4 tons laterally, landing 600 feet in every direction, shot out at up to 80 miles per hour? Enough force to send a 200-pound cannonball 3 miles. And there are a lot of cannonballs coming out of here. And we're missing 110 floors that should have been stacked up at the bottom in some mangled fashion, but seen. Are they there? No. On the left, we see a two-story pile of core columns, perimeter columns, etc. On the right, in Mexico, we see what we'd expect to see, stacked up floor panels, 90,000 tons of concrete. What happened to it? It's not at the bottom. Oh, there it is, being pulverized in midair by some extraordinary series of explosive forces. Pulverized 200 micron particles, laying 4 inches thick across lower Manhattan. What do they find in that pulverized concrete powder? And in the pile, molten iron dripping from the molten steel, literally molten steel. Molten steel at the heart of the towers remains. The firefighters are describing molten steel flowing like lava from a volcano. They don't see this in office fires. It takes 2,800 degrees to melt steel. Streams of molten metal that leak down the hot cores and flow down. Metal dripping from a beam. A river of steel flowing, says who? The structural engineer that designed these twin towers himself, documenting this. Flowing out of the material held in the hands of this, the jaws of this crab claw, pouring out of the South Tower 10 minutes prior to its collapse. molten iron. We can tell by its color temperature, by its color, that it is not aluminum or lead or copper. This is iron. And it is very well documented, actually, in the case of Building 7 in the Appendix C of the Building Performance Assessment Report in 2002, a metallurgical examination that uncovers steel that's thin to almost razor sharpness, holes in the steel up to a silver dollar, evaporation of the ends of the steel beam, an attack of sulfur, eutectic reactions, and sulfidation, intergranular melting, the melting of with iron, molten iron. Where does molten iron come from? Not from jet fuel. Jet fuel's only 500-600 degrees according to its manufacturer. But here we have the presence of sulfur attacking the steel. NIST says, well, that can't be sulfur. That must be the calcium sulfide inside the gypsum board. Well, we use gypsum board for almost 100 years to protect steel. It's never turned around and attacked the steel it's designed to protect. So what caused all this steel to melt? Well, let's look and see if there's evidence of thermite. Here's one possibility. The thermite is an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. It creates 4,500 degree temperatures in every liquid molten iron, the byproduct of thermite. So here we have a possible source for the massive heat. We have a possible source for the liquid molten iron, and they find in it also, the scientists find sulfur, which is added to thermite to become thermate. So a possible source for the sulfur all in this material. So what else was found, though, in the dust throughout the powdered concrete throughout Manhattan? Previously, molten iron microspheres found by the USGS, billions of them. They don't know where they came from. They're the diameter of a human hair on average, almost naked to the human eye. And R.J. Lee, another environmental consultant, finds these. They're so ubiquitous, they call them a signature element. It's not even World Trade Center dust unless it has these spheres. Up to 6% of the dust is these unknown liquid, previously molten iron microspheres. They're everywhere. Well, here's how thermite reacts, a small experiment. Thousands of what? Aerosolized molten iron forming itself by surface tension into spheres, falling just as you see here. Well, that's found in the dust. They can't explain it. What else is found in the dust, though? Independently collected samples documented by a team of international experts from Stephen Jones in Utah, Niels Harrit in Copenhagen. They document four independently collected samples. What do they find? Red-gray chips, about a 16th of an inch long. There's up to 10 tons of this material. Here's the ones they documented. They come up to a magnet, so they get real curious, and they do a X-ray energy dispersive spectroscopy. They find the ingredients of thermite, unignited thermite. So before we had the ingredients of ignited thermite in the iron microspheres, here we have ingredients of unignited thermite. They get real curious. They zoom in 50,000 times with an electron microscope. What do they find? Iron oxide crystals, aluminum platelets set in an organic bed of oxygen, silica, carbon. Very sophisticated material, an incendiary that's been engineered and set with organic material to become more explosive. And just like the results before them, at 420 degrees centigrade, about 800 Fahrenheit, they ignite. What do they produce when they ignite? Iron microspheres. So we know where the iron microspheres came from. They came from these chips. That's extraordinary, internally consistent, self-corroborating set of data that could put a lot of people away for a long time. As if we didn't know where these spheres came from. They're found attached to partially ignited nanothermite chips. It's called superthermite. It's made not in a cave in Afghanistan, only in the most sophisticated defense contracting laboratories. This is all documented in a peer-reviewed paper, Bentham Open Chemical Physics Journal. It's direct evidence of explosive destruction. Fire can create any one of these features, let alone all of them, especially these fires that were going out at the time of these buildings' collapse. So we believe that we've demonstrated the 10 key characteristic features of controlled demolition, that fire can't create any one of them. We believe this is proof of controlled demolition, which is why we have 2,700 architects and engineers calling for a new investigation about the truth about 9/11. Thank you.
And again, that was architect Richard Gage at the Nation of Islam Saviors Day Conference on February 18th, 2017 in Detroit. And the website for Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth is ae911truth.org. And I'm going to end the show today with a song called 9/11 Building 7 by Martin Noakes.
There's a million reasons why I don't believe it. There's a million reasons why it can't be true. Open fire, can't melt steel. It's not hot enough. It's nothing new, it's not a mystery. Check out the Reichstag, Germany. There's a million questions still. Seven still remain alive. It's nothing new, it's not a mystery. Check out the USS Liberty. 9/11, 9/11. What went down with Building 7? It's a mystery to this day. The building fell with such precision. Free fall speed, no reasons given. Like the towers, it just fell. Fire's not enough. No way hot enough to bring down. The project for the new American century was added to a modern-day Pearl Harbor it would be.
The comfort on King took the
plan. 9/11 set them free. The project for the new American century. About the blood that they're spilling.